So I inhabit many, many souls simultaneously and lives and perspectives to channel and be a great marketer. I can say I'm proud of myself. I've become a great marketer because of the pain I endured as a cancer survivor.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe, Jim and Jamie here. We are here with a good friend of mine. I'm looking forward to today's episode. You just got to hear his bio. Let me tell you the beginnings about Mike Keenings. Please say hello.
Hi. Always nice to be with you. Last week was a total joy. So yes. I feel so productive when we're together.
We get a lot done and have a lot of laughs. And we're going to talk about kind of the work we do together. But I want to talk about our beginnings. Probably about 12 years ago, I'm in a mastermind, Joe Polish's mastermind. And here's this guy that is working with Tony Robbins and tons of the big names out there. And I didn't ask him a single question about that. We stood in the hallway at the little hotel next to Joe's office, and we were the last ones down there by the bar, and he tells me about how he just overcame cancer. And I mean, what do we work for 2 hours? Just sit there and talk for 2 hours? I mean, I was amazed. I think we had a kindred spirit right away, and we've talked more on that. And then Mike, at the same time, which is kind of funny, thought I was a trust fund kid because I never talked about what I did. I seemed to have money. So I didn't talk much about my real estate investment company. And I was talking about 18 summers. And then within a few years, you and Zach came to join us. And then we started working together on bigger projects. But I thought that was a really cool beginning to both where we didn't know what the hell each other were, then became good friends, and now have worked on a bunch of big projects together.
Yep, that's a good summary. And I didn't meet Jamie until later on. And ultimately, I ended up doing the 18 summers program because I was hooked immediately with the idea of family board meetings, spending time and only having 18 summers with your kid, which I talked to my son, Zach, about, and it really impacted him. And I, from a very early age, I played the song Cats in the Cradle to him, and I explained that was my greatest sadness as a parent, was not being present, not being there, which to me, when I had cancer, cancer was a disease of behavior and the mind just as much as it was a physical disease. I was so not taking care of my body, and I ran myself ragged as an entrepreneur. And in the days that I was present for and with Zach and Vivian, I wasn't always there. I was in a state of entrepreneurial terror and trauma all the time, fearing like my business was going to fall apart. I was going to run out. That I was just waiting for the next monster to jump out of nowhere that I was completely unprepared for physically and emotionally and spiritually. And I definitely was part of my upbringing, and I'm positive it's like a DNA level trauma that's been carried on multiple generations, because like you, I come from a line of poor immigrants. And my parents pulled themselves up by the bootstraps too, but we did not have a lot of anything. And I was the oldest of four. So all these things coalesced. And then I think you and I have that in common. All of us, Vivian and Jamie and you and me, we all have this very similar background. So we're the first generation to kind of made it.
Yeah, you're right.
And now, Mike, returning to that original concept that you had of 18 summers, cats in the cradle, and hitting major adversity because maybe you weren't spending that intentional time anywhere in your life. You were just kind of full steam ahead. How did that change you? Like, what changed after that moment that made you go from, oh, this song pierces my heart, to like, holy shit, I'm not even going to be here to think about this song if I don't straighten some lines?
Yeah. So I did the experience, I believe, shortly after cancer. I mean, I was still a wreck. And physically, even though I was there, what you didn't see behind the scenes, because for anyone who doesn't know this story, I had stage 3 colorectal cancer, which means I have half my parts in my guts. I'm very food sensitive. Like, when I need a bathroom, I need a bathroom in 7 seconds. And so I was physically there, but I'm constantly, my body is in a state of shock. And I'm trying to be a good dad. So what happened as a result of that is, first of all, the curriculum that you follow is parents together with their kids, whether it's mom and daughter, or mom and son, or father, daughter, or father, son. And then the kids break out and do their own things. And one of the things that Zach did is he really worked on and thought about his future. It was the first time I had ever seen him do that. And it was profoundly positive. I mean, I get emotional thinking about it right now. So to see him draw and create a vision of his future was incredibly transformative. And then I think the other thing that happened was he and I continued these conversations that we had begun. And in fact, let me show you. So I just found the photos with Zach, and I'm going to share my screen right now so you can see him. I was doing that in the background because I was like, oh my God, I got to find this. So there's Zach.
Yeah, I remember that.
He did the 20 years into the future. And there he is a little bit closer. And you can see, I mean, this is a kid who's ADHD all over the place. To get him to draw or write something down, and you can see how he writes. It's like, he's all over the place.
Looks like me.
Yeah, and me, right? There we go, 20 years into the future. And this is a source of great pride, and there's someone else. So I think that was great, is we really experienced some father-son time structured by someone other than me or Vivian. And to this day, at 21 now, we have those 18 summers conversations, and we celebrate in the fact that even though the 18 summers are gone, we still have that mindset of making all these moments precious. And now that Zach has been going to school, and now he's also started his own business,
which we've been a client of.
Yeah, that's right. I think the greatest way you can set things in motion in a positive way is to make sure that your kids and you are on a values compatible, forward, future paced mindset. That's a mouthful and an ear and a brainful, but
values compatible, future faced. And that way you're really intentional for what you're doing now and how it projects into the future.
When you have to not only speak about them, you have to do them. And that's something I want to go back and give you a lot of credit for. Is there something you always said to me with overcoming adversity? When you're at Duke University and you were going through the treatments, and after you made it and you were cured, I remember you saying something really profound to me, and that's the nurses said, we knew you were going to make it. Because we can tell when people are coming in, the way that they were approaching, you came in with your, I know it well, and Jamie, your goofy mic humor, saying, you know, half inappropriate jokes, being your lively, loving self. And they said, we knew. And I think there's something to that of you were facing stage three of a very serious thing, and you kept that. This one, I want to reiterate that to the audience, because this is a key element that you couldn't even have gotten to those conversations with Zach if you had not displayed that. Can you give any advice on that, how you did that? Because that still is something I have the highest respect for.
Oh, thanks. Well, even though, like, I was definitely colorectal cancer at stage 3A, it's more curable now than it was 12 years ago, I'll tell you that. But at the time, the typical thing would be you'd get a big zipper scar all the way up, and they basically pull your guts out and cut it up and then throw everything back in and sew you up. I had an amazing surgeon, and I wasn't deformed by the surgery, nor did I have a poop bag, which I was very lucky for. And so when I went through the chemo and the radiation, and like the best way of describing it is imagine waking up for a month feeling like you've got broken glass and molten lava in your body, and every time you poop or pee, it feels like fire and glass is coming out. It sucks. And you wake up every day in a pile of your own hair. It is very inhuman. And I can remember a couple times I could have intentionally turned off my life switch, meaning I could have chosen to die. And you just have to learn to deal with and live with the pain, and a weird thing that your brain tells you when you're in constant, immeasurable pain, 10 out of 10 kind of pain, is the trauma is so harsh that you can't remember ever not being that way. Like your brain plays tricks on you, and you go through these little waves. And I can remember every day I'd be like, I know it's not going to stay like this forever. And then I'd have a wave of peace. Or finally, I started taking the meds. Because I refused to do any opiates at first because I wanted to man it up and be like, I'll get through this. And I don't want to get hooked on this stuff. And finally, I realized, oh my God, pain management is a real thing. Just having that temporary relief gets you through the next minute. So with regards to what happened in the lab, I just want to pre-frame the pain first. So I'd walk in every day. And again, it's kind of dehumanizing because what you do is you walk in and you've got dots on your back. They either tattoo you or you've got all these, they draw the first time you're in there. So they line you up in the radiation chamber. And then you put your junk in a metal tray and they wrap some of your parts with lead so you don't get over. But because of where I had it, they're zapping me through my butt, through my front parts, okay? And you don't know if they're going to be broken forever or basically fall off and not work, okay? So that's the other thing that you're dealing with is like, okay, I'm going to lose my manhood here completely. And sex is the last thing on your mind, but all men have wieners and we're our identities wrapped up in our wieners. Ask any partner. So I decided to be full on Mike and I'd walk in wearing cowboy boots every day and nothing else. And I was like, hello, ladies. And they were like laughing their asses off. And I had an ass joke for every day. I just made something up and I made them laugh until they were crying. And that's where that came from. They said, you didn't lose you.
So that's powerful.
And they said, we just see people losing their identities as they go through the pain. And I thought, that's the greatest compliment anyone could ever give me.
Yeah, don't lose your identity through the pain. All our conversations, I don't think you've ever said it that clear.
Lose your identity. And if you get frozen there, then you can't really move forward, right? Like that becomes who you are.
There is no future when you're living in that pain and living in doubt. It doesn't matter how strong your brain is, your body is going to tell your brain whatever it's going to tell it. And what I learned to do, I practiced. Here's what I did every day for months and months and months. Probably so chemo sucks. It's like that's one where you just imagine having a mouthful of pennies. You got this metallic taste all the time. And you go through cycles because they basically hook a device up to you that you wear like a belt, injecting poison in through your port. So I got this big ass port right here. It's a hunk of metal that you lay on. So it hurts. It feels, again, so inhuman. You feel like part robot. And you wake up with this all the time, absolute pain and just so groggy. You just feel dead, you know, and your skin, you start turning kind of gray-green. And then again, it's that cycle of as soon as it's time for your next dose, they give you steroids and that gives you a little upper. And you feel okay, sort of, even though you're sick as hell. And then when they give you the next dose, you just go down, down, down until you're close to death, right? They're trying to kill the cancer. So inside of this cycle, it's a mindset game. And what I practice doing is being like a camera. So you know how you have a spy camera looking at a body, which is yours. And I just put my soul in a box, my body in a box. And I spent all my time in my soul observing the body. And I just tried to have as much love as I could for it, requesting and demanding that it stays alive for my wife and my son and the people I loved. And again, during that time, I have a business that at the time wasn't doing well. I had just broken up with my partner of 10 years. I had no idea if my business would survive. At that point, I hadn't accumulated any substantial wealth. Like everything I had was in the business. And I don't have the strength to keep things going, except I'm walking around again, happy as a clam, trying to keep the balls moving, reassigning. I had some great team members, Paul Colligan and Ed Rush, who really stepped up, and the rest of my team did. I just could do what I could. And I remember my oncologist saying to me at the beginning, I own your ass literally and figuratively for a year, and you won't feel good for 2 years. So just know that now. And my delusional, optimistic self was like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to beat everything. And, you know, ultimately, he was right. You just feel like hell. And you just got to cope and learn with containment. I think survivors do that. If you talk to anyone who survived the worst pains, Viktor Frankl, when he wrote his book, he created a container and he reframed his experience and learned to love his captors. And I think that's basically the game you got to play. You got to create a movie in your mind with you as a survivor in a hero's journey and not take anything personally.
Wow. And that's, Jamie, I'll tell you, that is one of my top three books, Man's Search for Meaning. And in fact, reframed in that example makes a lot of sense now.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, this is something that I've had to not go through, some of it go through, not to your degree, but as you know, we're sharing good friends right now who are going through this. And as soon as we get off, I'm going to text them that, Rick, don't lose your identity through this pain. So
it's pretty sure he's still like a giant ass-ish gorilla.
Yes. Yes. Our mutual friend, Rick. So he's,
yeah,
he was still doing dirty jokes to us just the other day.
He's the only person in the world that can talk to me the way he does. Ooh. And Jim allows it. You might be the other person, but you don't directly talk to me that way. Rick directly talks to me about
penis. He's like a seventh grader. I always say he's a seventh grader who got left a dirty joke book. Do you blame the joke book or the seventh grader? I'm not sure. So it's, you know, you're about the same club.
So leading up to this, like you said, you were living in that entrepreneurial trauma, and it was an abusive lover that you kept returning to willingly because you thought, you know, I keep putting more and more into this, something's going to change. Right. But in the meantime, you're leaving everybody else behind you, essentially. What was different after you got your ass kicked for 2 years? Like, how do you live differently after the experience and not return to that abusive lover, if that makes sense?
Wow. Oh, God, that's a hard...
Are you different?
Yeah.
I see you differently because I have heard of the before Mike, and I've seen pieces of the before Mike, and then I've watched an evolution, and I can't help but communicate to you. I've watched you be more present, more loving, more available. And I've also watched you like kick ass in your endeavors. And we've personally benefited from it. I know that you're different. How do you feel you operate differently to reach different results in your family, one, but then in business to where you're not being abused the same?
Yeah. So everyone I know always says they like the after cancer Mike a lot better. And I definitely became like, when you're in that state, you become so empathic for your physical body and realize it's just this amazing gift from God, and that we are pure manifestations of God's love incarnate. And then the other thing that happened, I think, is I witnessed children going through this, and I'm like, you innocent, you poor innocent being. I felt like my cancer was a manifestation of sustained personal physical abuse, and there's a result of carrying around toxic emotions and toxic behaviors that resulted in it. And whether that's true or not, it's the meaning I gave it. And then I'd look at a child and I'd be like, this is not anything they did. It's not a result of a behavior. It's not a result of an action or a mindset. And then I can remember the first time I had just gotten out, and this young kid, I can't remember what happened, but we showed each other our port scar, you know, which was like, and at the time you can't really see mine anymore, but it was this deep thing. And he showed me his, and it was like, we had this bond over having ports, and we had a little conversation. So I became more relatable. And so I just felt inside that pain of the child and pain of a parent witnessing that. And I always said, like, thank God I had it, not my son. Thank God I had it, not my wife, because I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear the pain. Thank God it was me. And so I think I really learned another level of compassion and empathy I hadn't fully comprehended before. That's what probably gets me through it. And as a result, part of my gift now, like that we get to experience when we work together, is I have to become you. I really have to become your identity to be your voice and be your messenger. And I have to become your audience and invent an audience and inhabit. It's a form of forced schizophrenia. So I inhabit many, many souls simultaneously and lives and perspectives to channel and be a great marketer. And I can actually say that. I can say I'm proud of myself. I've become a great marketer because of the pain I endured as a cancer survivor.
And I can see it.
That's a really profound way of putting it. And I see that as you say it, I'm like, wow, you definitely have that, such a talent in what you do. But I see how you arrived there through such deep empathy of essentially separating your soul from your body.
I want to talk about that for a few minutes. I know we might have to have you on for a second episode, but kind of about what we started doing together, because I want people to know what you're doing. It's had a huge effect on our real investment company, as you know. And we started doing this together almost 2 years ago.
great way to create a friendship, which means we'll just be friends forever because we came together.
Well, it's so much easier when we get to create together. We get to create abundance together, and it has impact on a lot of people. I'll answer your question, and I'll get there a little bit indirectly, which was about 7 years ago. My companies that I had when you first met me were Traffic Geyser and Instant Customers, two software companies that automated marketing. My background's in tech and writing code. And I had an agency. I used to write video games. I made a movie in between there. I've always loved media. Like right before we started, we were making Kermit the Frog voices. And I used to just love kids television. I grew up with Sesame Street. And I always wanted to find a way I could be an entertainer and combine computers and technology and filmmaking and music and all that stuff. And after I had had these businesses, and I did another company where we created brands, you know, we helped people become bestsellers and write books, and I media trained them and brought them into my studio. But always my marketing quit working. I was such a dancing bear. The way I survived was speaking all the time, which again was one of the causes of my cancer. And I just couldn't do it again. And one day I just woke up sad and anxious. I couldn't sleep. And I had realized I'd outgrown who I was, what I did, why I did it, who I did it for. And through Dan Sullivan's coaching, I asked him, what do you think I should do next? And he said, I don't know the answer to that, but what I want you to do is interview at least 8 business owner founders and do the DOS on them. Ask them the Dan Sullivan question and the DOS, which is asking them, if you and I were to meet 3 years from today, what will have happened personally and professionally for you to feel happy with your progress? That's the Dan Sullivan question, followed by DOS, which was, what are the dangers in your life? What are the opportunities? That's O. And then what are your strengths, superpowers, unique abilities? And I did that. And within the second call, I realized what I was going to do next, which basically became your next act. I helped founders reinvent themselves or rebrand themselves or create a more powerful version of themselves where they're fully expressed. And now we basically create businesses in a week. I've got an amazing team, as you know, like Elliot and Abby and and the rest. We have this amazing ability where I get to create and launch about 20 businesses a year that I never have to run. And I don't like to run companies. I like to invent new things with founders. I love the collaborative process. Yeah, if I'm doing it for myself, it feels like it's masturbatory. It's not fun unless I get to do it with others. And now we write books with our clients. We get to create media. We get to play in a studio, invent things. It's like a constant, never-ending game of improv. And like what we did this last week together, we created 2 1-year marketing campaigns and then created AIs that'll do it. It's like a dream world we're creating. It's like a God experience. Be little gods for a week or two is magnificent.
No, and you're very good at it. That's something we've always struggled with. But as you said, when I said, maybe I've been a backup singer in this real estate game for a long time, it started to be lead vocals. And you said, here's how we're going to do it. And sure, we're at that point now, getting on big stages, getting big media, and being our own sales source, which has been really nice. And there's probably a lot of our real estate people listening to this, and they've seen the shift. Which is
in a year, basically maybe a little bit more. But I mean, and like when we were together last week, I'm like, here's what next year is going to do. Here's what your third year is going to do. Like, this is the momentum builder. Now the pieces and the infrastructure and the groundwork's being laid and been laid, and you're operating in a new identity and a new state of courage and confidence because you've got beautiful marketing and an unbelievably reusable, repurposable story that can be used in any channel. It's like, I did the moment we talked about doing this together. It's like, I get it. I can't wait. I can't wait to make this with you. It's been such a beautiful journey. And yesterday I had 2 friends over. I had a day of pure recreation with a couple of men and we played all day long. We recreated together. I was like, I needed a day of rest and recreation. And I bragged about you. I said, I want to show you my favorite, funnest clients. And I got to tell your story and the fact that it opens with the heart and then it moves into the freedom and independence and the passive income that you provide. And oh my God, it was like, they were so like, oh my God, that's the life I want too. It's like, it's easy to see yourself in someone else's beautiful life story. That's like, it's, you have a beautiful life movie story that other people get to live into and say, I want that too.
Yeah, no, and you've been great at helping us see that. So we appreciate it. And I want to make sure too, because I know we're running short on time. How can people learn more about you, Mike? What's the best way to learn more about what we're talking?
Okay, my favorite thing is this. Here it is. Get a copy of your next act for free just by going on my website. It's mikekoenigs.com/free. And this is my book. It's all about creating a business you'll love for the rest of your life that's allows you to operate in your greatest superpower. So it's for you if you've exited and you want to create your next act, or you're in a business right now and you know you want to create your next act and you feel stuck and it's time to reinvent, or you love what you do, but you know you need to upgrade who you're working with and your packaging, positioning, and messaging. And it's a thinly disguised guide for identity reinvention with the payoff of building a business. So you get paid while you get to be more like the you you know you are. So when you live inside your soul's purpose and you're resonating on all frequencies, that's really, I believe, what we do now is help honor your soul's purpose by giving you a chance to earn while you do it, but doesn't feel like a burden any longer.
Love it.
That's so good.
Well said. It's
like you pull out what we all wake up knowing is in there. So you kind of are like the little cheerleader on the shoulder.
Yes. And one thing I want to brag about, we have something in our work together I call the Mike Doc, because that's just my simple thing. So that doc is all of our stories, interviews, this, that. And I don't know how you keep that straight, because now it's over 300 pages of notes.
I just put our notes. I was looking at it. It's 367 pages. I'm in it right now. And we created almost 200 pages of marketing last week when we were together in those days. And now we've got a bot that makes even more. And I was demonstrating your bot yesterday that we built that writes in your voice. Now we get to do the next greatest thing. It's like, how are we going to push it so you're in front of more people with an even greater story? And it is, it's all documented. It's like we built a reinvention Bible.
Yeah, it really has. And I'm saying, we've always had great, as you said, talks and writings. And I mean, you just took the last 15 years and I'm going, oh my gosh.
Well, it's that deep empathy. Mike can see who we are, but also who we really want to be.
Yeah,
and which is cool. That's a huge gift. And it sounds like so often our gift is right there deep inside our scar.
Well, you can't figure out who you are staring at your own belly button. You got to invite, you have to be open enough and vulnerable enough to show your belly button and let someone else examine it and read it with you. And that's kind of like what some of this is. It's like, I need help is the first step. Sometimes a disease like cancer forces that upon you. And it's like, I always say about the kind of cancer I had, I was violated in many ways that a straight man never wants. Okay. So,
right? Oh my God.
It was such a humbling experience.
Yes.
Well, Mike, thank you so much.
We love you. We appreciate Viv. We appreciate Zach.
Oh, yeah.
To have worked with every member of your family now. And we look forward to more together. Thanks for sharing the story. Thanks for sharing some of your work. We'll have that in the show notes because it's definitely changed the direction of our overall businesses and pulled in a piece that we were always missing and so needed. So thank you.
Well, first of all, it's an honor. And I can't tell you how much I love creating with you, and my team adores you. Like, this is like when we talk about our favorite clients, it's you. And it's because you just walk in and say, what are we going to do next? What are we going to invent? With an open heart, open mind, and so much trust in your team too. And, you know, when Ashley is with us, we just get to build something magnificent, and you get to go out and change so many lives and improve the quality of lives through the 18 summers and family boardrooms work. And then you happen to provide passive income too. It's like, what a dream come true. What a profoundly beautiful thing of who you are and how it manifests. So I am glad I get to be a little caboose on your beautiful train going to choo-choo heaven. So.
Well said.
Well,
Mike,
yeah,
we love that. Seeing you. Look forward to this next year together. And thank you for being on
Thanks
today.
For sharing.
Many more.
I love you guys. I love who you are. I love what you give. So thank you.
Love you right back, bud. Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.